The New Testament lesson is from Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Luke tells a story of two interesting women. Martha, who is practical and capable and a go-getter, and her sister Mary, who by contrast was contemplative and presumably quite sedentary. We notice right away that it was Martha who took the initiative in inviting Jesus to their home. All we know of Mary is that she deposited herself at his feet. Martha was the initiator and Mary was the onlooker. Now, in thinking about this scenario, I looked around for other passages that describe these two sisters, and I found the same dynamic. When their brother Lazarus was dying, they sent for Jesus. And as Jesus was approaching, Martha ran out to meet him, while Mary stayed back at the house. And then later, when Martha was hard at work preparing a meal for both Jesus and her resurrected brother, Mary was in her favorite position, sitting on the floor. So how do you react to this? Whom do you most closely resemble? I won't take a show of hands, but it'd be interesting to see. Now, if somebody had asked me that question a few years back, when Ruth was serving a small church in Pepperell, I know how I would have answered. Every Sunday, I used to set out the bulletins for the Sunday service. I'd mark the passages for the scripture readings. I put the numbers of the hymns on the hymn board. I checked the candles and the length of the wicks for the acolytes. And I'd put out the tally sheets for the counters to use. And I would print out new name tags for the people who, despite many reminders, would repeatedly wear them home and leave them there. That was Saturday. Then on Sunday, I'd open the doors to the church. I'd turn on all the lights. I'd turn on the fan during the summer months and turn on the thermostat in the winter. And I'd check to see that all the toilets were flushed. And what did What did Ruth do? Absolutely nothing. All she did was give a little 5 to 10 minute talk. One time when I was dutifully obeying her command to mow the church lawn in preparation for Sunday, it became obvious to me which one of us was the most valuable player on the team. I was. I reasoned that if I didn't unlock the doors, no one would be able to get in and attend the service. And if I didn't turn on the lights, no one would be able to read the bulletin. And if the numbers of the hymns weren't posted on the marquee, no one would know what to sing. And so it was clear to me that I was more important to the church than Ruth. And besides, who really needs a sermon every Sunday anyway? I think that Rudyard Kipling would have agreed with me. This is one of the poems he wrote. He said, "The sons of Mary seldom bother, for they have inherited that good part. But the sons of Martha favor their mother of the careful soul and troubled heart. And because she lost her temper once, and because she was rude to the Lord her guest, her sons must wait on Mary's sons, world without end, reprieve or rest. And the sons of Mary, they smile and they listen to the word. They see how truly the promise runs. They have cast their burden on the Lord, and the Lord, he lays it on Martha's sons. So I thought, right on, Rudyard, until I thought a little bit more. And then I realized my analysis had left one person out of the equation, Jesus. I realized that I had spent much time reflecting on the dynamics of the two women, but had forgotten to think about Jesus. And to some extent, that is what Martha had done. She had her own agenda. She wanted to do things the right way, and she was completely focused on serving the perfect meal. Yet, she was oblivious to the needs of her guest at that particular time, that particular moment. And what were those needs? We can only guess. Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. He had sent 70 of his followers ahead to preach his word and to harvest more followers. And now he had arrived at Bethany, where he was to celebrate the Feast of the Booths. All of this was only about 6 months from when he would share his final Passover feast. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. He had already spoken of that outcome to his disciples. And now, what he had to do was to fight an inner battle, bending his will to the will of God at the certain cost of his life. So probably his deepest need at that moment was for peace and maybe a little gentle companionship. Would he have been hungry? Maybe not. My guess is he probably wanted to sleep more than eat. But we don't know that because Martha never asked him. But we do know that she did ask him one question. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? We don't hear an answer, so she takes it upon herself to make a command. Tell her then to help me. Can you imagine her disappointment when, in anticipation of hearing her sister being reprimanded, he turns his attention towards her instead? He addresses her not with one given name, but with the same name twice. You can almost picture him taking her face in his hands and making sure that he had her full attention. Biblically speaking, that was not a good sign. Like in our culture, if your mother calls you by both your first and middle name, nothing good is likely to follow. And it was the same here. The proof was her. Reproof was hers, not Mary's. Jesus tells her, "You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." And to add insult to injury, he said, "Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." On Thursday this past week, my former wife, Cynthia, died at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston after a battle with cancer. Although we had separated 35 years ago, she was nonetheless the mother of my three oldest children. So out of a sense of duty as well as need, I did the proper thing, what Martha would have done, by going to the hospital and paying my respects. I stayed about 4 hours. She was still alive, despite the fact that I was exhausted, and then began my return home. I got as far as the New Hampshire rest stop when I knew there was more to be done. Not in the Martha sense. All that was behind me. But now I need to go back and be Mary. To sit quietly at her deathbed. And to let my presence over the next 4 days speak for itself. My children were especially grateful because I was there for them in a very special way. Thankfully, I had chosen the better part. So what is the message this morning? It is that we need to honor both the Mary and the Martha who reside in us. Because if Martha didn't exist, what would be life like? Our furniture would be dust-covered, our house would be a mess, and we would be eating a steady diet of TV dinners. That's not how we were designed to live. So be grateful for whom you were made to be. I love being a Martha, at least most of the time. And I'm happy to be living with a Mary, at least most of the time, who is also a constant reminder of what it means to care about Jesus. And so what do we do with this message? When you see someone hurting, take the time to be present. If a loved one appears to be withdrawing, take the time to give extra attention. If your children or grandchildren need affirmation, take the time to express it. For if you do, Christ will be in your presence, and you will have chosen the better part. Amen.